Hallelujah. And I'm just going to ask y'all to put up the first scripture that I gave you. I just want this scripture to go up, and then we're going to move on. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it." And I just want to add to what Matt just prayed and ministered to us. I just want to remind you who we are today, because I don't think you're hearing a lot about that out there. The Bible tells us to weep with those who weep. The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. And I want you to remember who you are.
Hallelujah.
Because we are one body together. And if one of us suffers, and you've got thinking, well, who's suffering? You must not be listening if you don't know that people around you are suffering. There are people right now that are really concerned, and people right now who are suffering. There are a lot of things happening. Don't be ignorant. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we'll get into the message. I feel today, just want to preface what I'm going to be saying to you today. I've been in ministry now over 20 years, almost 21 years, pastoring, ministering the gospel, but before I became a minister, I had another job, and that job was a job that's more important than my job as a minister, and it's my job as a mama. And today, I just have it in my heart to talk to you like I would talk to my kids. And I just want to minister some things to you. From the Word. If you will, just put up the next scripture I have. It's from Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In 20 years of ministry, one of the things that all of us as ministers here at Good News, that we've longed for is that you would know and fulfill God's will for your life. It's just the longing of our heart. And I say that, you know, as a mama, there's no greater desire I have for my children that they would know and fulfill God's plan for their lives. And it's the same for you. I long for that. And I know the only way that you are going to come to know and fulfill God's plan for your life is if you are transformed. And the Bible makes it clear that we are all called to undergo transformation. And disciples, the whole process of discipleship is about you and me being transformed. You've heard pastors say it several times recently. It's that we would act like Jesus, we'd talk like Jesus, we'd walk like Jesus, we would sound like Jesus, we would be Jesus to our world. That's what this discipleship process is about. But that requires this transformation that we see here, that there would be a change in us. That there'd be change deep within us. There'd be a change in our thinking, that we would change. Do you recognize today that you need to change? It's really easy to think, hey, I'm pretty good. No, you need to change. You need to be transformed. And, you know, to that end, because of this great desire that we have, which I believe is a godly desire to see change and transformation in your lives, I can tell you, I, for one, have devoted myself to teaching, to training, to pleading with you, to giving you information overload in an attempt to get you to be transformed and changed and for you to manifest Jesus. But in the last month, the Lord has dealt with me very strongly that verse 2 will never happen until verse 1 happens. And so no matter what we do with bringing renovation to your mind and assaulting you week after week with information and bringing you scriptures and bringing you teaching and just, you know, feeding you the Word, unless you have first, let's go back to verse 1, done what verse 1 says, this is not really profiting you. And there's this big disconnect. between what we're doing week after week or day after day even, and you being changed. Because the first thing that must happen is that you must do something. And it's that you must present yourself. You must present yourself, and you can only do it by the mercy of God. If you weren't here last Sunday, Harry ended up sharing spontaneously, had a spontaneous message about the righteousness of God. It is only because we've been made right with Him, through with God, through what Jesus has done for us, that we've been accepted and been named well-pleasing to God. It's only because of that that we're even able to present ourselves to God. But it's by His mercy that we can do it. So it's not some work of our own. It's by His mercy. But it's still our decision and our action that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we present ourselves holy. And that word holy means that we set ourselves apart and dedicate ourselves, and in this case, even our bodies to Him. Our bodies are what walk around in this earth, and you don't live on planet Earth without a body. I know we talk a lot about your spirit here, but your spirit was made right, was recreated. Your spirit is not your problem. Your spirit was born again. If we could see your spirit, we'd recognize there's God. Your spirit looks a lot like Him. It's your mind and your body that are your problem. And that's the part of us that needs to change. And it starts with, because this is how we get information into our minds, which eventually filters into our spirit. It starts with our bodies. And you and me have to present ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice, set apart unto Him, acceptable to God. We are acceptable to God. But not everything we do is acceptable to God. And not everything that our bodies, that we allow our bodies to do, or that we allow ourselves to, you know, get involved in, is acceptable to God. But we ourselves, because of what Jesus has done for us, God, He loves us. But I'm telling you, there's some issues. And it's interesting. I remember many times I've heard Bobby Widener talk about his reasonable service. He'd come to the church and do all these things, and we'd thank him, and he'd say, "Oh, it's just my reasonable service." And I would laugh. Who says that? But I recognize anything we do for God is totally reasonable. It's unreasonable that we don't live every moment of every day full on for Him. That's what's unreasonable after what He's done for us in Christ. Living sacrifice. Boy, that's kind of a strange idea. Because the idea of a sacrifice is that it is dead. We sacrifice something, we kill it. But we're not being killed. God doesn't want to kill our bodies. He needs our bodies. These bodies allow Him to work in the earth. So He wants these bodies fully yielded to Him so that He can work through them. But that, I'm telling you, it's easier to give yourself to death once than to live daily for Him. The crazy thing about a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. It's a living sacrifice. There's a yielding to staying on the altar. There's a submission to staying in a position of being a living sacrifice. And let's just be honest, these are not things people talk about anymore in church. It's just not really very popular, right? God wants you blessed! You're called to be a living sacrifice. You're called to present yourself to God. What does this word present mean? What does that mean? Well, you really, the literal meaning of this word present means to stand by. To stand by. And, you know, in my mind, it's like you are on go all the time, just ready for the signal. Have any of y'all ever flown standby? When you fly standby, and if you really are trying to get where you're going and you're flying standby, you are right up at the desk They're telling you, we'll call your name if you have a seat for you, but you want to get on the flight. And somehow or another, you hovering around the desk is going to help you get on the flight. So you're hovering around the desk, your name's on the standby list, but you're hovering, you're listening. They have four seats. And if those people don't show up, I got a shot. And you're there. You're ready for the signal. I mean, they're not having to go down to the food court and find you. You're right there. You're ready. I mean, if it's Tom Tiller and he's trying to get home to Rhonda from Kentucky, he's sitting on top of the desk. Let me fly. I got to get home. I got to fly home. Standby. You're right there. And that's the call, is that we are on standby, that our bodies even are on standby for God. We're ready. He's not having to hunt for us. He's not looking somewhere. Where did they go? No, but it's a reasonable expectation towards us and our service towards God that we are ready, willing, and able. Now, I'm not a military person. I've told you this many times, but I tell you, military illustrations are so good. If I was a military person, I could really be a great preacher. But I do know this, that there is a status that military, you know, that sometimes our men and women are called to as they serve our nation, where they are on standby. I don't even know the name, but I know they are ready at any time to go. I know our firemen have that they are ready to go. They have their equipment. They're ready. All they're waiting for. And they're not just like thinking about everything else and completely involved in everything else. And then somebody has to come in and get their attention and shake them and try to wake them up or get them uninvolved from the video game they're playing. No, they're waiting. Their ears are tuned to the signal. They're on alert. Is that the right term? On alert. I should have you on speed dial and call you before every message. On alert. They're listening. They're waiting. That is what the Lord requires of you. Now, I know you're sitting there, you're going, well, that's good for you, Susie. I mean, this is your job. This is what you do. But you don't get it. See, I come to church because it's the thing that we do on Sundays. I'm a good person. I'm a Christian. I mean, I love the Lord. I was singing. Did you see me? I was singing. What more do y'all want from me? It's not me that wants anything. It's the one who died to give you life. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to have His way. He wants to use you for His goodness. Now, you're going to get really, really blessed in it. You have no idea what a wonderful, wonderful life you would have if you would just do what I'm talking about. Things would change dramatically, and so many things you've longed for, and so many hopes and dreams you've had, so many desires would be fulfilled if you would do this. If you would just say, I'm going to present myself. And I'm going to continually present myself. And I'm going to live my life on standby. There are a lot of words in the New Testament that talk about our position of readiness to go on alert, our position in being submitted to Him. The Bible uses terms like we are no longer slaves of sin. Aren't you glad you're no longer a slave of sin? But then the same scripture says, but now we should be slaves of righteousness. That's strange, right? We love freedom, right? But I'm going to tell you, there really is no freedom except in being a slave of righteousness. 1 Corinthians tells us that sin no longer has dominion over us. So we are not, I mean, that's what Jesus has done for us. He's brought us out from under that rule and dominion of sin and death. But he didn't bring us out just so we could be free and do what we wanted to do and run to and fro and celebrate. There is a measure of celebration and you know, in the freedom that we have. But he brought us out so that we could submit ourselves fully and wholly to him, because we were incapable of that when we lived under sin and death. We could not present ourselves to him. We had already been presented. We were born presented on standby to sin. You're pretty familiar with that. But now we are able to present ourselves and yield ourselves freely of our own will as slaves of righteousness. What a deception that people walk in who believe they are free from darkness, but they're free to do what they want to do. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Many, many believers think they're free from darkness and free to do what they want to do. But there is no such thing. There are only two options. You are either presenting yourself to God and you are living in submission to him, or you are still presenting yourself as a slave of sin. And there are many believers who live in bondage to sin and death, although they have been redeemed and are now free to present themselves in submission to God. You know, it's interesting, the line of work I'm in, it's an interesting job because I deal mostly with believers. And there are some real frustrations that we face from time to time, actually almost every day. One frustration is talking. I feel like it sometimes that I have to convince believers to love God. I feel like I spend a good amount of time convincing believers to love God, even though I can't, because the only way you can love him is to know his love for you and respond to it. That's the only way that works. And it may be another way of expressing that is a lot of the trouble that I deal with, a lot of the problems that we face is, you know, in dealing with church people, is just simply that people refuse to submit themselves to God. They refuse to do it. And it creates so many problems for so many people. You, living for yourself, you just create problems for people. The biggest problems are for yourself. Living for him, it's your choice. We're called to be on standby. Hallelujah. Let's go over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 7. In the last, you know, well, since we had the leadership summit middle of June, this has just constantly been on my heart here in James 4, 7. I don't even know. It wasn't even mentioned at the conference. I don't know how it got on me. But James chapter 4 and verse 7, and my understanding of this has just been turned on its, you know, side. It's a verse you probably know. It says this, says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many of y'all have heard the scripture? Look at there. Many of us. Many of us could quote it. But just to be honest with you, when I read this scripture and when I act on this scripture, most of the emphasis is on resisting the devil. How many of you would say, you look at that and you think, yeah, I resist the devil. I know I do. I spend a lot of time resisting the devil. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever resisted the devil in anything, any form of the devil, any manifestation of darkness, whether it's something that's come against you like sickness or disease or some other kind of, you know, work of the enemy, confusion or strife, or, you know, any work of the enemy? Have you ever resisted it But the devil didn't flee. We have an honest person that said yes. I'm not even sure who said that, but thank you. I'll tell you, I've resisted the devil and he didn't flee. And I'm going to tell you, I get really angry with the devil when I resist him and he doesn't flee. And maybe sometimes I get a little miffed at God. But the Bible, this verse doesn't say resist the devil and he will flee. At least that's not all it says. It says to submit to God. To submit to God. And again, this word submit is a military term. And it's not just about, you know, I don't know, what does submit to you even mean? It's a word that's kind of been abused in the body of Christ. It's mostly, most of the time when you hear the word submit in church, it has to do with men trying to dominate women. But we're not talking about that one today. Submit is a military term, and it really just paints a picture that you bring all that you are, your whole being, all your influence, your entire existence, your whole life, that you bring it under, and in this case, God. You bring it under His rule, you bring it under His will, and you yield fully. All that you are and all that you have, you bring it and yield it. And we see submission in the Garden of Gethsemane is the best picture of submission in the Bible when Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." That was a great moment of submission. I'm so thankful Jesus submitted. It's just our reasonable service to submit because we're not going through what He did. And you bring all that you are and you submit it to Him. All your hopes and dreams, all your desires, all your wants. You bring Him all your faculties. You bring Him all your gifts. You bring Him all that you have to offer, all your skills. You bring Him all your energy. You bring Him all your stamina. You bring Him all your effort. You bring Him your body. You bring Him your mind. You bring Him your time. You bring Him your talent. You bring Him all the influence that He's given you in life. You bring it all. And you say, this is under your authority. And I'm on standby. What would you have me do? Meanwhile, you scour through His Word and find out what He's already said in His Word for you to do. What did He say in His Word? Well, get busy doing that. And if there's something specific He needs you to do, He'll show you. And then you report. Speaking of being a mama, one of the worst things about being a mama with your kids is when you can't find them. They've run off somewhere and there's work to be done. And kids have a way of figuring out when there's work to be done and just vanishing. Like they're always there. I don't know about y'all, but my kids, they're always there. They've always just been right there. Somebody was posting on social media recently about just if they could just go to the bathroom alone, what a treat that would be. You know, and I said to him, you know, my youngest child is 19 and I'd still like to go to the bathroom by myself. I mean, they're usually hovering right outside. When she's coming out, I got to get her. I figured out how to get a door between us, Frank. Thank God for that. But when there's work to be done, now I'm like looking out in the yard, seeing if their cars are there, having to text them. They're not answering their texts. You understand? When they need something, what it's like? Mom, why are you not answering? 'It's exactly how it is. I'm just telling you. I know your mama. She relates to this. But when I need... Oh. Is that how we are with the Lord? Do you ghost the Holy Ghost? Present ourselves. We're on standby. What would you have me to do? When something's going on, well, our response is, what would you have me to do? With what the events in our nation this week, you should have been asking yourself, what would you have me to do? Who do I need to reach out to? Do I need to call? Do I need to pray? What would you have me to do? How can I give life? How can I represent you? That's your only thought. All your other opinions, we don't want to hear them. Anything that is not of faith is sin. No, it's just my opinion. No, actually, it's not just your opinion. I'm just telling you, this is just the Bible. I told you I'm talking to you like I talk to my kids. You wonder why my kids are so warped. This is the deal, y'all. He gave himself for you. It's reasonable that you give yourself wholly for him. All that you are. All that you have. Everything about you belongs to him, and it's at his disposal full time. Not when you get ready, not when you have a need, not when you feel spiritual, not when pastor says it's the right time. You're on standby and you're hovering. Now, for me, this submitting to God, resisting the devil. Oh, it's still up there. Submitting to God, resisting the devil, and he'll flee from you. I used to see this as three steps. I used to see it as I submit to God, and it's kind of like, I submit to you. All right, I did that. I resist the devil. Devil, go in Jesus' name. And he flees. Certainly, I'm not the only one who's had that idea. But I'm going to tell you, it's not how it is. Submitting to God and resisting the devil are the same action. This word, resist, it's the same Greek word that we get the word, antihistamine from. I'm not going to give you, a little lesson on what antihistamine is. But if you know what it is, it'll help you. There's a resistance that goes on. By nature, it's resisting. By position, there's resistance. If I live my life in subjection to him, and I don't mean daily, I mean my life, all the time. We like to talk about daily, and daily is certainly a good thing. I kind of like that. I like the idea of daily, but I'm telling you, it's a lot more than daily. Paul said, pray without ceasing. We would, I'm just encouraging you to pray daily. Paul's like, well, pray without ceasing. That's a whole nother deal, man. That's the New Testament. We have pre-service prayer on Sunday morning. We like, come once a week and pray together with us. You're like, yeah, I don't really feel like that. That's what we're asking. We're saying, why don't you come and pray? Pray on Sunday morning. It'll be good praying with other believers. There's something about it. I'm telling you, there is something about praying with other believers, particularly if one of them is Cynthia Thomas or Tanya Taylor. Now you got some praying going on. But we're just saying once a week. Just maybe come and pray. I don't feel like doing that. Paul said, pray without ceasing. We have gotten so casual, man. I heard recently, and I'm not talking about just, I'm just saying the church. I just heard recently about a youth pastor. He was talking about things, in relation to youth ministry and trying to reach young people. And he made this statement, which I kind of get where he's coming from with it. I kind of understand what he's saying. But on the other hand, it's completely appalling. And he said this, I will do anything just short of sin to get kids in the door. And I thought to myself, that's how we all live, man. We're just right up there. We're not standing by the Holy Spirit. We're standing by sin. Well, you know, I'm right here. There's sin. That's the kind of the way we think, as long as I don't cross that line. That's how you want to live? I'm not living that way. The next verse, after submit yourself to God, resist the devil and he'll flee. Does anybody know the next verse? Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's where I'm living. I'm living near. You realize that for all of human history, until Jesus paid the price, no one could draw near. Moses, he couldn't draw near. David, no wonder. No wonder so many of the Psalms are so sad. David couldn't draw near. But we can draw near. We can live near. We can live near to God. It's our privilege. I don't know what other privileges you've had, but there is no greater privilege than drawing near and living near to God. There's no greater life. There's nothing that compares. We sing these songs. We sing these very words. The world has nothing for me. We sing that. But we don't live that way. Because I don't really think we believe it. I don't think we believe it. But today, I want you to believe it. The world has nothing for you. We've seen this week what the world offers. That's what the world offers. Peace only comes from knowing Him. There will always be prejudice, racism. There will always be strife and contention. There will always be riots. There will always, as long as sin is operating in the earth, there will never be peace on earth. The only peace is in us. It's the deal. We can get that peace when we give Him. Draw near to Him. Well, how do you do that? I mean, you're talking about these big concepts and talking about laying it. What does that mean? I'm just going to, just as simply as I know how, I'm just going to share with you. First of all, you need to have a relationship with God for yourself. You. One that has nothing to do with, you know, what other people around you are doing. Has nothing to do with if you're at church or not. Some people, they can only worship God if there's a certain song with a certain tempo, with these certain words. And that's complete and total carnality. You need a relationship with God, and you need to know Him for yourself. I know God. And at the end of any, in the middle, at the beginning, and at the end of anything I faced in life, the thing that got me through and enabled me to walk free was knowing Him. And you coming to a church where the pastor knows God is not enough. You need to know God. How do you get to know Him? Well, you get to know Him by spending time with Him. How do you spend time with Him? Well, it's a good thing to spend time in His Word. But, you know, people tell me, I hear all the time, well, I can't read the Bible. I can't read the Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you can't read the Bible, something's wrong with you. And you think it's, you know, I get distracted, I'm not a good reader, I don't enjoy, I don't get nothing out of it. No, it's actually your heart that's the problem. So you need to do something about that. How do you get your heart changed? Only He can change your heart. You need to present yourself to Him. How do you present yourself to Him? It's just as simple, y'all, it's as simple as you just get in the shower in the morning and you talk to Him and you say to Him, I'm not really even sure how to do this, but I'm just going to give myself to You today. I'm just inviting You to have Your way. I don't even know what that means, draw near to You, but this is just all I know to do. I'm just telling You, I'm drawing near to You. And I'm giving You everything I have to work with. You're going to have to help me. I know this, I'm thankful for You. I'm thankful that You saved me. I'm thankful that You sent Jesus for me. I know that You love me. I know that when I was dead in my sin and had absolutely no reason to deserve any good, You gave Your all for me. I know that. I could never, ever express how grateful I am for it. But thank You for it. I know that You've made me in Your image and in Your likeness, and You made me a new creation. Help me to know what that even means. Help me to find my identity. Help me to realize who I really am on the inside, not this other part that's been developed by living in this world. I just draw strength from You today. You ever have conversations like that with the Lord? You just talk to Him from your heart? There's a lot of things in my life that I'm not quite sure what to do with. Help me. Show me what to do. Make it plain. Give me the courage and the strength to be obedient to what You show me to do. I don't always feel willing, but I decide today I'm willing. I may not have always been obedient, but by the grace of God, I'll be obedient. Enable me. You just start right there. You just start talking to Him like that. You just start thinking about how good He is. We just spent a lot of time singing about His goodness. And it obviously stirred something in you. Why don't, you know, He's good on Monday. He's good on Tuesday. I found Him to be really good on Wednesday afternoons. Thank Him for His goodness. Just meditate on, think about how good He's been to you. Be thankful. Just look around in your life and find anything that has His fingerprints on it and be thankful. Continuously thankful. Praise Him. Just sit quietly and meditate on all He's ever said to you. Remember the things He said to you. Remember the times He's encouraged you. Just go back over that and just let praise rise up from within you and just let it out your mouth. And in moments where there's all this stuff swirling, just get away from the swirl and pray. Well, I don't know much about praying. Well, come spend some time with Cynthia and Tanya. They'll teach you. Romans 8 tells us when we don't know how to pray as we ought, thank God we have the Holy Spirit. He gives us utterance. He prays the perfect will of God through us. We can just open our mouths and God's perfect will supernaturally come up from within us and out of our mouths. And it'll change. Ooh, that'll bring some serious change in your life. If you don't know anything else, just pray in tongues. Well, I can only do that at church. I can only do it when I feel the Spirit. That's not true. You can do it anywhere, anytime, at any moment. Hallelujah. If you live that way, I'm going to tell you, you'll spend a whole lot less time going, I resist you, devil. I resist you. I resist you, devil. I was just thinking about it. I spend very little time going, I resist you, devil. I resist you. I mean it. In Jesus' name. I just don't spend hardly any time at all doing that. You know why? I live my life in resistance to him. I live in resistance to the enemy. My thoughts. He's coming at me with fiery darts, and I'm putting up a resistance. Like Harry talked about last week when he was slapping his head. Slap it down. What were you saying? Something about slapping something down. I get it. That's resistance. You're putting up resistance. Because where the enemy gets a stronghold is right here. So one of the greatest ways of resisting him is to slap down those thoughts that come. Anything that's contrary to what we know to be the truth as revealed in the Word of God. Slap it down. That's living my life in submission to him. And it's amazing how little I have to do with the devil and telling him to flee. He just flees because he sees, well, there's not a lot I can do here. Her whole life is a resistance. Not a lot I can do here. I'm just telling y'all how it is. It's your choice. It's the best choice. We'll help you. It's your choice. It's a good choice, man. Every day. All day. Keep my mind stayed on him. He'll keep me in perfect peace. Now, yesterday I had a situation. Oh, look, I've gone past noon. Yesterday I had a situation. It's been going on all week. Oh man, tough thing, tough thing. Man, so many factors, so many people, so much involved. Oh my goodness, it was heavy. Really hard situation. And then I got to speak today. So I was kind of mad. In fact, I was telling God, okay, what about this? And I got to speak tomorrow. I was mad. I was kind of mad at everybody now that I think about it. And so you know what I did? I said, Matt, will you come with me? We came over here. We have keys to the church, you know. We came over here. And we just started. I started right over there. And I walked right there. You can see my footprints. More than an hour. I just walked. And I prayed. And I prayed in tongues. I prayed in my English. Some moments I cried. Matt was laughing a couple times. I never laughed. And I just prayed. And I just brought it all into submission to him. And I'd like to tell you, and then when I said amen, it was all fine. But you know what? It wasn't. But I'm not dealing with it in myself. God is for me. Who can be against me? It's not man's wisdom that I'm operating in. It's the wisdom of God. There's some hard moments in this. There's some things I'm going to have to do. There's some things I've already had to do. And there's some tough things I'm going to have to do that I don't want to do. But I'm on standby. What would you have me to do? Well, you know, I know, Susie, you have to do that. You're the pastor. That's a lie. And that will bring evil and let it work in your life if you think thoughts like that. And if you don't recognize that you need to submit yourself to God and live in submission to Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask.